taught something related to this a few years ago, and this is probably different verses, but same topic. And thought about it over the years, so I thought I would look at it again. And the topic is God has the hard part. And 1 Corinthians 3 is a good place to start in looking at that topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about how, like, it's an overwhelming statement God makes here. In verse 5 it says, who is Apollos, but ministered by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry or tilled field. You are God's building. Here it says that, which is the overwhelming part to me, is that it says that we work together with God. Right? Or fellow laborers. The two, you know, so you have yourself and you have God working together. Now, I'm going to go on the limb here and say I have a good sense on who's going to do the hard jobs in that particular partnership. I'll let you guys decide for yourself which one it'll be, but it's pretty obvious when you have fellow laborers, you're working with somebody, and that happens to be God. Okay, enough said about that. Matthew 11. Keep that in your mind as we look at this topic. Matthew chapter 11. We know that Jesus Christ always did God's will, even though it was difficult at times. He did God's will, and here Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So he says, "You can come unto me, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So here we're talking about the same relationship, but here it's talking about being yoked together with Jesus Christ. So when he says, if you want to live this life and you're yoked, like two oxen would be yoked together, if you had two oxen, again, I'm going to go on the limb here and say, if one of those was Jesus Christ and one of those was me, I think we have a mismatch on who's going to do most of the work here in this particular yoke. That's why he says, "Take my yoke upon you," because if you're yoked with the Lord, he's going to deal with the difficult things, okay? That's why it says he'll give us rest twice there, and it's easy, and it's light. And if you're going to labor and be heavy laden, he'll just come to me, and it'll be a much better situation for you. So God, you know, work us together with God and yoke together with the Lord Jesus Christ. So in both those circumstances, it's God and the Lord Jesus Christ who are going to do the heavy pulling, if you know what I'm saying, right? And the hard jobs, right? Which is a wonderful place to be as believers, right? So let's look at Exodus 14. I'm going to look at examples of this. Genesis, Exodus 14. And again, I'm sure you can think of many, many cases like this. About records in God's Word. Exodus 14, verse 1. Verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh," which means Pharaoh is going to die, "and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that his people fled in the heart of Pharaoh, and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this? how short memories they had, that we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. The children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes toward God and said, God is really going to take care of us. Like, oh, wait a minute, that's the unwritten version I'm reading here. That's not what they said. And the children of Israel, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? How short memories they had as well. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So Moses wasn't going to get any help from the children of Israel. You guys put that light on over there? It's getting quite dark. Liam, put a light on there. They weren't going to get any help from the children of Israel. Verse 13, I love this. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you should just shut up. Right, just hold your peace, right? You shall hold your peace. Another way of saying that, right? You see, who's going to fight for them? He said, the Lord's going to fight for them, right? Who was going to do the hard part in all of this? Who's going to do it? God. What did they have to do? Stand still and be quiet. Right? Who's doing the heavy lifting here? Right? And in fact, we don't need to read the rest of the record, but we'll read verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Right? What did Moses have to do? Just believe God and raise his hand. He didn't have to, you know, concentrate and bang his head against the wall and whack several floors. Right? He just had to trust God and raise his hand. Who causes he to go back? Did Moses have to figure out how to push the sea back? No. God did that. God told him, you just do this and I'll do this. Who did the hard part? God did, right? 2 Chronicles 32. He said, God will fight for you. Wow. I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that fight. So thankfully, he's our father. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he purposed to fight against Jerusalem, which was the children of Israel's land, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered together much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised up the towers, another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. He set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. He knew he did what he knew to do. I mean, that's what Hezekiah did. He knew he did what he knew to do, and then he told the people, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Wow, that's an interesting statement. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Right. Who did he say was going to do the hard part? Right. God. You know, there's a verse, there's that verse in I think it's Psalms where it says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle. Is that Proverbs? Right. But safety is of the Lord. You do what you know to do, but in the end, what is it that makes, who is it that makes sure you're safe? Who is it that fights our battles for us? Who is it that protects us? Right? God. God does the hard part. We just look to him and say, well, this is all I know to do. Right? I'm not going to go play marbles in the freeway because you're my God. I'll just not do that. Right? I do what I know to do. But beyond that, can you possibly control all the circumstances of life and the things that happen around you? Not a chance. Without a solid, just foundational, basic, simple trust and confidence in God. Right? And God fights our battles for us. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Now here, just when we read a few verses here, just look at what God is asking man to do here and what he does in return. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So he's saying, don't forget his word, but let your heart keep his commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Right. I think it's a little bit easier to just know God's word and keep the commandments, then find a way to make length of days and long life and peace be added to our lives. Right. I'm glad that job isn't mine. Right. I'm glad the job that he's given me to do is just know his word. Right. And just, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. What does that mean? Do my word. Where do you learn about mercy? What is truth? Thy word is true. Don't forget about God's word. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. How could I possibly find a way to find good understanding in the sight of God and man? All he asks me to do is keep my word. And you're going to have that blessing. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. If I'm not going to lean onto my own understanding, what understanding am I going to lean onto? God's, the word of God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm happy to have God direct my paths. I don't want to figure out what path I should take. I don't. Let God do that. He's willing to do that. Now, what has he asked man to do so far in this whole record? Keep his word. Trust me, keep my word, and this is the blessing. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. What does that mean? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So you want to be healthy and blessed? Keep his word. So far, I can't even find a list of 10 things for man to do here. Right? Keep my word, trust me, and you're going to find out which way you need to go. You're going to find favor and understanding inside of God and man, and you're going to be healthy and blessed. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. A lot easier to honor God with our substance than to find ways to have your barns filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine, isn't it? Right. Who does the hard work? God. All the way down the line, God, God, God. And all he asks man to do is keep my word. Right? Just trust me. Keep my word. I'm not asking you to do much more than that because I know you're incapable of much more than that. that's my own addition there. Malachi chapter 3. We'll read a little more about that. Malachi chapter 3. The last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. Right. Here God says in verse 10 about the tithe. Right. Well, I'm a engineer type of guy, you know. If I had a sum of money, let's say $100, and I had to figure out what a tithe or a tenth of that would be. Okay, I mean, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to get my calculator, I'm going to get my weighing scales, and I'm going to get my, what we call that thing, the slide rule. I'm going to take that, I'm going to figure out what one tenth of that is. Might take me a while, right? But I'm going to come up with the figure that is one tenth or a tithe of that, right? Now, that may be a lot of work for a lot of us, right? What does God do? He opens the windows of heaven, which I wouldn't even know where the windows of heaven are. Pours you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He rebukes the devourer for my sake, for my ability to use a slide rule, a calculator. He rebukes the devourer for my sake. How would I even figure out how to do that? That he will not destroy the fruits of my ground, neither vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. That's talking about not just fruits, but also about pregnancy. Lord of hosts, all nations shall call you blessed. To be blessed and proud. How could you? Who's got the hard part here? Right? God. Man, he makes it go, you know what? I'm just going to let you figure out what one-tenth of everything is, and I'm going to deal with the rest of the stuff. That's a good deal. That's a really, really good deal. I guarantee you, right? You're not going to find a better deal than that, right? It's a blessing. What a God that he would do that for us, you know? And, you know, I know this is Old Testament, but New Testament talks about a cheerful giver. And God even goes above and beyond and blesses his people. For what? For figuring out how to use a calculator? Wow. Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. If you have any problems using a calculator, you can talk to Sophie. She's taking calculus now in school. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. I'm in the wrong part. I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in the wrong chapter. Do I mean verse 28? No, we just read in verse 28. I'm in the wrong. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We got to go to this verse. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, Patrick and I were talking about that this morning on our deck there, about being saved. And for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. So here, let's look at what God asks man to do. I know this is a complicated teaching, right? He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, very simple, very easy as using a calculator, right? You'll be saved. You are saved. It says that you will not go through the wrath that is going to take place in the world when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and all that happens ever after. You're not going to go through that. You have eternal life. Now, I challenge any scientist to go into a laboratory and find a way to give any human being eternal life. Right? I take them on easy. I say, I'm going to show you how to do it so simply. All you got to do is what God wrote in his word here, and you can step aside because it wasn't your word, right? Confess with your mouth Jesus and believe as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. I can do that, right? I can't find a way to get eternal life. I can't find a way to stop the wrath from coming upon me. No way, right? I can't find a way to get righteousness before God. Sanctification, to be set aside from all the common lot of man. Can't find a way to do that. Redemption. How could you possibly take Holy Spirit and put it inside a person in a laboratory, right? God says all you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that I raised him from the dead, and you get all that, right? Who's got the hard part in this bargain? God. Man, very easy. Very simple, right? Nothing complicated, right? You don't have to even pray the sinner's prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, you could if you wanted to, but you don't have to. Philippians chapter 4. You know, and you know what? And Jesus Christ had to go through quite a bit to allow that to happen. Like he had some work to do. But after he died, who had the hard part? God. He raised him from the dead, right? Jesus couldn't find a way to raise himself from the dead because he was dead. 3 days and three nights. Even if he could have gone to a laboratory, it would have been possible because he was dead. Right? God had the hard part, and he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. We read this last week when we're talking about thankfulness, but be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here God gives you some real hard work to do. He says, I want you to pray to me, and I want you to be thankful. Two things. You got two things to do here. Not just one thing. Two things. Pray and be thankful. Prayer is such an amazing thing. You know, you could spend hours just looking at prayer. But prayer, you sit down and you talk to your Father, God, and you're thankful. And, I mean, how many records of prayer do you know in God's Word? What the results are just so far and above and beyond what you could possibly have imagined. We'll look at the quick one here in a minute, but how could you figure out how to get the peace of God which passes all understanding to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? No thanks. I'd rather just say, Father, let's pray, and I'm really thankful for all you've done for me. And then allow the peace to just do what God has designed it to do. He's the one who's got to figure that out, thankfully. Let's look at Isaiah quickly. I want to just look at a quick thing in Isaiah. Chapter 38. Speaking about prayer. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Hezekiah comes up twice in these records today. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. That's all he did. He just prayed and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Was he thankful? Sure was. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I want you to find a way to add 15 years onto your life, other than prayer. I know people have tried. Hand creams, face lotions. You know, I mean, literally add 15 years onto your life, right? And here, what did Hezekiah do? He prayed. He went to God and said, Father, not Father, but in this case, he wasn't their father. but God. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, "And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that thou he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is it gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward." Are you kidding me? He's going to rotate some heavenly bodies in order to make this happen. What did Hezekiah do? Prayed. "So shall the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." He reversed what normally happens with the sun and the earth every day. What Hezekiah prayed. He gave him 15 years, and he did a little bit of a thing with the planets and the sun. Wow. That's God. Who has the hard part? Do you want to even... I know man thinks they can control the climate, but I want to see him turn the sun back. Nonsense, isn't it, right? Wow, what a God, what a blessing. Romans chapter 8, a couple more verses here. God sure has the hard part, but he sure made it really easy for us. Yeah, we got some work to do, but boy, it's so simple compared to what you get in results. Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Right? So, you know, even where we thought we might have been able to do something, at least to be able to figure out what we should pray for us, God has even covered that. "But the Spirit itself made intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You know, we just saw cases where God says, well, instead of being anxious and doing all this, I want you to pray. Just pray and be thankful. And now he says, okay, fine. Those were two really hard things for you to do. I understand. Because you don't even know what to pray for sometimes. You know what? I'm going to even help you with that. You just speak in tongues. And the Spirit I've given to you will make intercession for you and for the body of Christ. And I'll deal with it. You just be thankful. You speak in tongues. And I'll take care of you. Man, you want to talk about God covering just about everything that he possibly could to bless his people. And still, to this day, man is unthankful for that. Right? Wow. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? That man will be so unthankful for what little God has asked him to do, for the blessings that abound, right, be above and beyond what we could possibly think. Let's close in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We could look at a certain lot of records later to this verse, but we'll just close this one here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the right way of believing. I have kept the faith." Right, Paul here. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So if I want a crown of righteousness, whatever that is, I have a lot of work to do. He says, just love the appearing of the Lord. All those that will love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ someday? And if you love his appearing, it says here, you're going to get a crown of righteousness. Wow, right? You know, we have a hope that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And here, what do you got to do? Love is appearing. I can do that. I can pray. I can speak in tongues. I can tithe. I can study his word. I can know his word. I can trust and believe him. And after that, I don't have to do anything else. I can just stand still and shut up after that. Just like he told Israel to do, right? And God just blesses you and blesses you and blesses you above and beyond. You know, fellow laborers, yeah, but who's doing the hard work? Yoked with the master, but who's doing the heavy pulling, right? God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just enjoy the blessings, right? So, what a great God that we have. And We'll be so thankful for him today.
God bless.